As we talk about finances and go through numbers, sometimes that information can be kind of cold and stark. And I guess I wanted to say before we begin that first of all, you know, I think that the work that Sandy and her team have done and the park staff at the domes has been very admirable and deserves that applause. Also, just as we go through this, and my job is to present some of the cold hard numbers and facts, and as I do that, it's not without also sharing some of the fondness for the domes and the facilities here that the members of the task force expressed, and that you know, those of you who are out here on a Wednesday evening at this time at night have as well. I can remember coming here from the time I was a small child and bringing my own children here. So I do share that with you. I also believe that it's important, as the task force is doing its work here, that you have a good understanding of not only the financial information related to the domes, but also for the county, the county's financial situation, because in order to come to a successful conclusion, that information needs to be a part of the decision-making process. And then finally, just one thing to clear up any discrepancies in the numbers. What happens sometimes in, you know, large, complex organizations like the county, the staff here at the domes has spreadsheets and things that they utilize for day-to-day management purposes. And as Sandy mentioned, it includes the expenses and revenues that pass through them as individuals through this particular building. There are also expenses and revenues that are directly related to the domes, like, for example, the Zilli's contract here, where those revenues don't pass through the staff here. They go through other paths to the county. They end up in the county's financial management system, and they're reflected in the numbers that I'll be going through in my presentation. The numbers that we're utilizing for this presentation are tie back to the county's annual financial report, which are audited, and incorporate those revenues and expenses. So there are some small discrepancies at times, but I think that explains the bulk of those situations. Oh, yeah, I apologize. My name is Steve Krecklow. I'm the County Budget Director. A few things that we'll touch base on this evening. One, I wanted to provide just an overview of county revenues and expenses from a little bit more macro perspective. Talk about some of the county's fiscal challenges as we think about some making investments in the domes. I think it's important to have that background. That'll include some conversations about county capital infrastructure needs that are outstanding. There's been a lot of talk about that here at the domes. I think putting some context in that countywide is important. We've completed some research on financial impact comparisons, looking at numbers from the domes in particular, the Mitchell Park Conservatory in particular, as well as some of the other cultural institutions that the county supports, and as well as some other facilities that are taxpayer supported within Milwaukee County. We've done some research on financial information that I think would be helpful to the task force, and have some information on a case study from a large-scale project from Milwaukee County Zoo that may be helpful. And then finally, we've developed three potential financing scenarios for improvements to the conservatory. Those aren't the only three alternatives, but what we tried to do was develop it a wide range to cover various alternatives to provide some framework for discussion moving forward. So some of the key points that I think we want to try to emphasize, and as you may know from following things in the media, Milwaukee County has some very significant financial challenges. We have a large structural budget deficit that requires on an annual basis when we go through the budgetary process a lot of difficult positions, decisions, having to look at the various programs and determine funding levels. We also have very severe limitations on our ability to increase revenues, and many of those set by the state government. In addition, and as, I guess as part of that, we have significant infrastructure needs. There's hundreds of millions of dollars in deferred asset maintenance and capital projects, again, without adequate revenue to try to address all of those needs. And I know that sounds pretty grim, but having said that, and I think, you know, having kind of a sober view of where we are financially, we have been able to successfully complete a number of you know, modest but very important capital improvements in area cultural institutions. And I'll be talking a little bit about where we have been successful and how we've been able to do that as hopefully something that's helpful to the task force doing its work. So I'll begin just by spending a couple of minutes talking about the overall county budget. The budget that we just adopted for 2017 was about $1.1 billion. And that comes from four major sources of revenue. Direct revenue, which are charges for services and things that the county provides on a fee-for-service basis. That would include the revenue that the domes collected. It also includes revenue from the airport, from the county transit system, the golf courses, the swimming pool, the zoo, the behavioral health facilities out in the county grounds that receive insurance payments from patients there. So that's our largest source of revenue, our direct revenue that we bring in for services that we provide. Our next largest category are state and federal dollars. Those are tend to be specific to certain programs and limited to use for those programs. So it would include, as one example, youth aids that the state of Wisconsin provides to Milwaukee County to provide services related to the juvenile correctional system. And next, and the one that achieves the most attention, our property taxes, which are about a quarter of our overall revenues. And our ability to increase those are limited by state statute. We can only increase our property taxes each year by the amount of new construction within Milwaukee County. And then finally, we have sales taxes. Milwaukee County collects a half-cent sales tax on purchases within the county. And that amounts to about $75 million per year. It's highly subject to, you know, economic variation and fluctuations. I'll focus in a little bit more on what's the most discretionary portion of those $1.1 billion, the property tax levy. Most of the other revenue is either specifically related to services that are being paid for by the public and has to be dedicated to those services, or is grant funded and has to be dedicated towards those grant funding things. So this pie chart here demonstrates that roughly half of the property tax levy goes towards what I would call state mandated functions related to public safety. The courts, the sheriff's office, the DA's office, the House of Correction, those types of operations. A significant portion, and I'll talk about this a little bit further, is listed under fringe benefits, and that's actually just what we call the legacy portion of our fringe benefits. The costs for retirement pensions, retirement health care for employees that worked for the county back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s that weren't paid for back when they were working for the county. But now we do have to pay for them now that those individuals are retired. Health and Human Services is about 18% of our budget. Most of those funds are grant funded or, again, fees for services through our Behavioral Health Division. The areas that that leaves are general government and parks and recreation, which are areas that you know, oftentimes get the most scrutiny during the budget process because it's some of the few areas that we do have flexibility for changes. So I'll talk a little bit further about those fiscal challenges. Two items which tend to cause people's eyes to glaze over a little bit, but are very important to county finances. One is OPEB, and that's an accounting term that refers to costs that, when Sandy mentioned there used to be 56 people that were working in the domes at one time, when those 56 people were working here, they were promised by the county legally that they would receive payment for health care after they retired. And in private sector organizations, when those promises are made, you're required to set aside money to pay for those health care services after retirement. Governments are not required to do that, and the county made the decision back during the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s not to provide funding. So what this cost here is showing is that now we're still paying for those 56 individuals that were working here during that time period. That means there's less money available to pay for current services. So these numbers are a little bit small, but this is creates a lot of budgetary pressure for the county. In 2017, these costs are about $45 million. Which is larger than the entire tax levy support for the County Parks Department. And over the next 5 years, those costs are gonna grow to $60 million. So we're expecting that as more of these individuals who started with the county in the last part of the 20th century retire, they'll move into this category, along with general health care expense increases, this creates a lot of budgetary pressure on the county. The next area is pension contributions, which you'll see kind of a similarly shaped chart here. The county has not set aside, historically has not set aside enough money to pay for pensions that were promised to employees. There is an unfunded liability of over $400 million in the county's pension fund. We have to pay down that liability over time, and that increases, again, the budgetary pressure. In 2017, our contribution is over $90 million for pensions. And that's going to grow to over $100 million in the next few years. And just to kind of summarize and express the impact of these legacy obligations that we have, if the county's pension fund was fully funded, and if those OPEB, those retiree health care costs, were fully funded, without any other changes to the county budget, we could fully fund the replacements. We could build three new domes every year and with cash financing. So that's the magnitude of the obligations that we're trying to pay down. It's over $100 million a year in legacy obligations that the county is saddled with and trying to pay down. So now for a little bit more, some good news, and there is some good news. The county has been doing a good job of managing the difficult financial situation. And without looking, you know, too much at the small numbers here, there's two lines on this chart. The red line at the bottom shows the structural deficit, the gap that the county was addressing back in 2011. These are numbers that come from our five-year forecast, and they illustrate the gap between what our costs are and what our revenues are. And in 2011, we were projecting out a gap of over $90 million for 2017. When we last did our forecast, we had closed that gap by over $50 million. So we've made a lot of progress. The new line is that orange line. So there's been tremendous progress that have been made in recent years by county decision makers, but we still have a long ways to go. We still have budgetary gaps, and that structural deficit persists. So we're still working to address that. And I just wanted to illustrate a little bit about how this makes some of the decisions at the county more difficult. So these are real numbers from the 2017 budget that we just completed. We started off the process at the beginning of the year with a gap between our revenues and expenses of just a little bit under $37 million. And as you may have heard in the media, and if not, in this spring when you start getting your vehicle registration renewal, you'll see that there is a new county vehicle registration fee of $30. And that closed that gap by $13.5 million, providing a new revenue stream for the county. Property taxes also went up for that new construction number, which allowed us to bring in another $4.2 million in revenue. We have some reserves that we've accumulated over recent years, and we drew down on those by about $12 million for this year. We made some modifications to the GoPass system for the Milwaukee County Transit System, which will generate $3 million in revenue. And then there were a wide variety of other departmental revenue increases or expense reductions of about $4.2 million. And that's how we went through the process of balancing the budget. So as you can see, those challenges that we have are very significant. And next week, I'll be meeting with the budget analysts on my staff, and we'll start all over for 2018. And in 2018, our starting gap is going to be a little bit larger than it was last year. So we'll need to come up with a whole new set of ideas and figure out how to close this gap again. So most of that focus has been on the operating budget. Now I'll spend a little bit of time talking about county capital infrastructure needs. Over the decades, Milwaukee County has taken on responsibility for a lot of the physical infrastructure within the county. And oftentimes, we've done that without adding new funding streams for the maintenance. And that's one of the issues that has created the situation that many county facilities in, similar to the domes, where there's deferred maintenance that has not been adequately funded. Facilities may not have been maintained as they should over the years. And as a result, there's growing backlogs of investment needs that are necessary without adequate funding. And to put that in context, the county's responsible for maintenance of $1.9 billion in buildings, from the courthouse and the county jail to the House of Correction to the mental health complex to these facilities, all of the swimming pools that the county owns, golf courses, et cetera, 156 parks, major cultural institutions like the Milwaukee County Museum, the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, among others, 96 bridges, a fleet of over 400 buses, a highway maintenance fleet that is going to be out salting the highways here this evening, sheriff's vehicles, etc. Now, to maintain all that, we have a capital budget in 2016, it was $48.4 million, and we allow that to grow by 3% each year. And that's based on a debt affordability model that was developed about 12 years ago to determine, you know, how much money we can put into, how much money we can borrow each year and afford to pay the debt service in order to maintain this capital infrastructure. As a result, and I'm going to talk about some of the unmet capital needs, But the Public Policy Forum a few years ago did a study of specifically parks and cultural institutions and identified $246 million in unmet capital needs just for those types of facilities. And another item, the last point on this slide, and you may have seen this in the paper today, we also have a significant need for a new criminal court facility. There are significant safety concerns, as well as other concerns related to the safety building down as part of the county court complex, courthouse complex. And initial estimates are that that facility will cost $185 million. So this also is a chart from a recent Public Policy Forum report where we looked at all of those capital project needs, not including the domes, and then for the next 5 years, and then looked at the amount of available funding. The red columns show the amount of capital needs for the next 5 years. The blue line shows the amount of funding that's available. So over the next 5 years, the needs are going to exceed the funds available by over $300 million. And that's before we take into consideration anything related to the Mitchell Park Conservatory. Next, I'll move into the next section about the domes and the finances. And I won't spend too much time on this slide. This gives a little bit more historical information, and I think Sandy made a great point that there's been a lot of fluctuation in recent years because of some closures that have affected the revenue side. There have been some maintenance items which have shown up on their operating expense budget in some years as well. But just looking at 2015, which I think was a very good year for the domes, there was an operating subsidy from the property tax levy of about $486,000. Now, I should also point out in this slide that these expense numbers do not include items like depreciation or debt service. So there are capital items which would affect the expense side of the equation as well. And I've listed here the history of capital projects for the domes. Since 2003, there have been $7.4 million in capital projects funded for the Mitchell Park Conservatory, is probably the more accurate way to state it, including the roof on this building, some heating, ventilating, and air conditioning improvements, improvements to the lagoon area, that's a significant amount of money, but it also is far less than what our facilities experts would tell us should be invested on an ongoing basis in a facility of this size. So here I've provided some background information on other cultural institutions that the county supports. The county has owns and supports a number of cultural institutions. I won't go through all of the numbers in detail here, but the Milwaukee Art Museum, the War Memorial, the Public Museum, the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, the County Historical Society, the Charles Alice Villa Terrace, as well as the County Fund for the Arts and the County Federated Library System. And to give you an idea of the size and the scope of the county commitments there, the 2017 operating support for all of those institutions totaled $7.1 million. Now, on the capital side, which are facilities improvements that we help fund, over the past 5 years, the county's contributed $44.5 million to those institutions for a variety of improvements. And I know because I hear it pretty much every year during budget request time. I think each one of those institutions would probably say, well, they're grateful for the $44.5 million. They would like to see more money coming from the county to support those institutions. And then the bottom line I included here, also putting this in perspective, the Parks Department itself is a significant, you know, cultural institution for the county. The operating support, the tax levy dollars that go to the Parks Department as a whole were $19.6 million for 2017. And over the last 5 years, capital funding for the Parks Department has totaled $69.3 million. And that goes for golf courses, swimming pools, bike paths, all of the various improvements to the 156 parks in Milwaukee County, covering 15,000 acres. We did some analysis on several of these institutions to look at attendance, the operating subsidy per individual attending, the capital subsidy annualized per person attending, and then the total subsidy. We looked at the Milwaukee Public Museum, Milwaukee County Zoo, the Mitchell Park Conservatory. I also added on here Miller Park, where the Brewers play, and the new Bucks Arena. And the county does not directly support either one of those facilities, but I know as I've had conversations with members of the public, with policymakers, my family, and a lot of times we get the question, well, you know, why is your taxpayer support, or how much is the taxpayer support for those institutions? So I think it may be helpful as we move forward. Some of the things I'll highlight here, the current operating subsidy per visitor for the Mitchell Park Conservatory is about $2.71, which is on the low side. That's a lower level of support than the museum or the zoo is getting. On the other hand, and we plugged in some numbers here to say, what if the county funded a $65 million investment in physical improvements to the conservatory? If we were to do that, it would increase the capital subsidy to a much higher level than some of those other institutions, and the total would be over $16. Compared with about $8 for the Milwaukee Public Museum and about $10 for the Milwaukee County Zoo. In addition, for Miller Park Stadium, if you look at the public investment back in the late 1990s, that works out to about $5.70. The new Bucks Arena moving forward would work out to about $10 per visitor. One of the other questions that has come up too is, well, why wouldn't the state be willing to, or why wouldn't the state be jumping at the opportunity to provide financing for the Miller Park Conservatory, like the state has stepped up in the case of Miller Park and the Bucks Arena, and this is where numbers can be a little bit stark and cold. The main reason is that the state would not have the same type of a financial incentive to provide that kind of support for an institution like the conservatory, or for that matter, the museum or the county zoo. And the reason for that is the level of direct sales tax and direct income tax that are related to those facilities. So for example, with the Bucks Arena, the Cleveland Cavaliers played at the Bradley Center last night. LeBron James was there. LeBron James makes, I don't know exactly what his salary is, but hundreds of thousands, maybe $1 million per game. When he's playing in Milwaukee, he pays state of Wisconsin income tax on those earnings, and that money goes to the state. Mostly from the players, but professional baseball players playing at Miller Park contribute $8.6 million per year to the state of Wisconsin in income tax collection. The NBA players contribute over $6.5 million per year in income taxes to the state. And as much as we love our dome staff, not quite as much coming on the state income tax side from the domes. Next, I'll talk about the case study that I thought may be of interest. There's currently a significant effort at the Milwaukee County Zoo for a major renovation to the African Plains exhibit, and particularly the elephant exhibit. The elephant exhibit is the only one of its type in the Upper Great Lakes area, and the current facilities there do not meet the American Zoological Association standards for maintaining elephants in those types of facilities. The total project cost for the development of a new elephant exhibit at the zoo is $16 million. The plan that the zoo was able to put together in partnership with the Zoological Society is that Milwaukee County will pay 50% of that $16 million investment, and the Zoological Society will raise the other 50% from donations from individuals, corporations, etc. And that's the foundation for a larger African Plains exhibit, which will be revisited, based upon the success in delivering the first phase for the elephant exhibit. And as a part of this, the zoo is expecting that the renovated exhibit will help to increase attendance revenue, retail revenue, as well as special event revenue. So this is an example of the type of a project in terms of scope, magnitude, and funding that the county, was able to fund and move forward with. We also have some research here. I had the budget analyst who works with the Parks Department do some research on private contributions for cultural institutions and sports facilities in Milwaukee and based from Milwaukee companies. And there are a few areas where we've been able to provide some information that may be helpful. The first one on the top of the list, actually just recently, Johnson Controls in Milwaukee just announced that they are going to, while the final information has not been publicly released, the media has reported that Johnson Controls will be making a $3 million per year contribution to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio for 18 years for a total of $54 million. For naming rights to that facility. When the Bradley Center was renamed recently to the BMO Bank Bradley Center, the BMO Bank contributed $3 million per year for a six-year period towards renovations to the BMO Bradley Center. When Miller Park was constructed, Miller Brewing entered into an agreement to provide $2 million per year for naming rights for that facility for 20 years. UWM recently entered into an agreement for naming rights for Milwaukee Arena for $340,000 per year for 10 years. And Miller Coors entered into a similar agreement with the Milwaukee Theater for $350,000 over each year for a five-year period. In addition, we were able to get some information. If you've been to the Milwaukee County Zoo recently, you've seen the U.S. Bank Plaza when you're entering. The U.S. Bank contributed about $2.5 million towards that. Improvements in exchange for the naming rights. And at the Milwaukee Mile, the new media center there, the Peck family donated $250,000 towards that facility. So I think this provides some helpful information about the size and scope of private investments that have been made. One of the things as we've been researching these is that when private entities are looking at these donations, the amount typically is related to the visibility of the institution, the number of visitors, as well as like the media opportunities. You know, for example, one of the reasons the numbers are as high as they are for the BMO Bradley Center and Miller Park is that in addition to the people who visit those facilities, they're on the radio, 81 times a year for the for the Brewers, 41 times a year for the Bucks, as well as, you know, multiple television appearances that relate back and provide that level of visibility for the sponsoring organizations. So finally, I'll get to these three financing scenarios that we've laid out, and they're at a high, medium, and low level of funding. The first alternative would say, well, what if we were able to make improvements to the conservatory in a way that would increase revenues and decrease, you know, utility costs, et cetera, so that the conservatory no longer needed an operating subsidy, that the conservatory could break even and would no longer need an operating subsidy, and instead we could take looking at the prior years, an average of $600,000 per year, and said we'll put that instead towards paying debt service on a new facility, and I'll talk about that. Secondly, we looked at what if we took 50% of the park's annual capital budget and said we're going to dedicate that for the next 5 years to improvements to the conservatory, and what would that look like? What would it be able to accomplish? And then finally, what if the county just went out and issued $50 million in bonds, in general obligation bonds, and put that towards a new conservatory? What would that look like? So first, we'll look at scenario one. If we take the current annual operating subsidy and we dedicate that to debt service, we would be able to borrow about $7.5 million in general obligation bonds for improvements. Now, assuming that we were able to identify a $7.5 million match, that would allow us to size basically a $15 million project for improvements. Under the second alternative, looking back at the park's annual capital budget, and there's a wide variation from year to year, but generally they're receiving about $10 million a year for capital improvements. If we dedicated one half of those funds, or $5 million per year for a five-year period, we would be able to set aside $25 million for the project. That would create a backlog or increase the backlog of capital projects for parks facilities. However, assuming a $25 million private match to the $25 million in county capital contributions, we would be able to afford a $50 million project. And then finally, what if we just issued $5 million or $50 million in new debt? Legally, the county could do that. The county does have the legal authority to issue that debt. It would result in an increase in property taxes of about $4 million a year. It would create significant additional pressure on the county's budget that may squeeze out other services cause us to reprioritize some of the other functions within the county. So it would make that structural deficit that we are experiencing more difficult to close. However, assuming a $25 million match, it would result in a $75 million project that would be available. As the budget director for the county, one of the things that I would say in thinking about the impacts that level of borrowing would have on the county's structural deficit and our ability to provide other services that the county provides is that if that's a direction that the task force, you know, wishes to look, I think it would be helpful to pursue a regional financing approach and especially looking at some of the attendance numbers, where you know, a significant number of the visitors to the domes are coming from outside Milwaukee County, it may make more sense if the task force is looking to, you know, to hit the home run on a horticultural conservatory, to look at alternatives for a regional financing approach instead of relying solely on the county property tax levy to finance that. So, conclusions. You know, hopefully I was able to successfully kind of communicate the capital infrastructure and other long-term obligations that the county faces that limit our ability to absorb significant amounts of new debt. On a more hopeful scale, on a more hopeful note, I think that, you know, looking at a similar size project to the one at the County Zoo for the African Plains exhibits would be, you know, maybe possible, and it's the kind of thing that we've been able to do successfully at the county in the recent past. You know, I think a larger scale project is something that the county just would not be able to absorb, and would require collaboration with the state or neighboring communities or some very large scale private contributions. And then finally, and this wasn't an item that I specifically addressed during the body of the presentation, but I would also encourage the task force that as you're looking at making recommendations, to give consideration for financing of a long-term revenue stream for the maintenance of a new facility. You know, I think that you know, what we've seen here in the facility that we're in right now, as well as a number of other county facilities, is that when the infrastructure was put in place, there wasn't a lot of thought given to where is the money going to come from to take care of it as it should be taken care of. That just shifts the issue to the next generation, causes problems down the road. So hopefully that we'll be able to take a better track this time around. So, and with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to do my best to answer them.
Are there questions?
That's really scary. Actually, the question I want to table kind of fits in here, and maybe Sandy can assist too. I noticed on some of our cultural assets owned by the county, there's a non-resident fee charged to those participants that come and visit. Is that something we can do maybe over here as additional funding?
The question is whether a non-resident differential charge for attendance here would be an option that might increase revenue.
Right. I mean, 40% of visitors come from non-Milwaukee County, so I see that as a lost source of revenue, potentially, if that's feasible.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I'll jump in first, and Sandy and John may want to provide some additional background. A number of the cultural institutions have higher rates for non-county residents. Typically, a lot of that is based on market research, and where we can charge more for non-residents, where there's a willingness to pay, we try to. You know, it is something I think we could have conversations about. Typically when we go through the zoo, for example, golf courses. There's market research that goes into it to say that we don't want to set the differential too high that we drive people to other options.
John?
Did I hear you correctly that the county for decades did not fund pension promises made?
That's correct, especially on the OPEB side. You know, employees from the 60s through the last bargaining units lost these benefits actually in the early 2000s. The bulk of county employees lost the benefits in the 1990s, but the county did not set aside any money for those retiree health care obligations. And the pension fund, while it on paper during those time periods was shown as during some of those time periods as fully funded, assumed some very high rates of return going forward in the future that were that just hadn't been realized and were probably not realistic.
Other questions?
Just a question, kind of by comparison, the city of Milwaukee pays something like $70 million for rehab of City Hall exterior, and is paying more than $50 for shoring up the foundation. Smaller population base and higher population of people in poverty. What's the main difference about why that is possible for the city and not for the county?
I mean, one of the big differences, the county's pension, or the city's pension fund is fully funded. And they have a similar issue with the retiree health care. They did not pre-fund those either. But the city pension fund is a fully funded pension. In addition, the city has some flexibility on other types of revenue that the county does not. For example, over the years, they've been able to create a number of new fees for everything from, you know, stormwater, sewer fees, garbage collection fees. They've done a lot along those lines. They face some similar challenges, but they have more flexibility from a revenue perspective than the county does, and they have a fully funded pension system.
But the base for the county is larger. Is the pension obligation the major deciding factor between those two?
You know, that I would say that's a very good question. It's probably one that somebody like a Rob Hankin, who's spent more time looking at the city budget than I have, would be better able to answer than I can.
Just seems fairly striking contrast.
I agree. I spent 11 years with the city of Milwaukee, so I understand.
And just a comment as well, the financials for the domes, the term used was profit and loss. And I have a question about how appropriate that is for a public entity. You know, it's not a business. It may be run in a business-like fashion, but these are investments we make for all of us, and we don't do it with the expectation of a return.
It's a fair point. Fair point. I use those because in the public, generally, those are there are some other accounting terms that that I could utilize, but those I think are they get the point across the most effectively. I think you can make an argument that a subsidy or contribution might be a more technically correct word, but I think for the general public, they understand profit and loss is generally more clear in terms of what the numbers mean.
Well, I understand the clarity, but it does sort of create the expectation that we want these things to make money, and that's, I think, is not the expectation, the proper expectation.
I have a couple of questions and comments. First, I printed out the materials, and I don't get a lot of the on the print. What printed from the website doesn't square with what's on your, especially the green type to the right. So we have some technical issues about getting in the footnotes around on the page here. Look like they make sense, but they don't on here. So we've got some matters to deal with after the meeting. I was looking at the comparison of financial support for Milwaukee County Culturals, and it's helpful to have the operating support, the tax levy support for each of these entities, but if it would be even more helpful if we knew what percentage that was of the total revenue. How large a tax levy benefit is the Art Museum getting in the War Memorial compared to their budget. And maybe that's just something we can follow up with in getting some of those figures. I also noticed that comparison doesn't include the zoo, although some of the later do. And I have looked at the zoo's 2015 annual report and was despite its very large scale and its very strong support from its zoological society, the tax levies covered $7.5 million of the zoo's annual budget that year. About, you know, according to their annual report, 28.6% of its budget came from tax levies. So I think having more of that, that would be helpful to do a bit more on the comparison with the zoo, because the zoo sort of sits out there as something sort of like what we're doing here, but on a bigger scale with a more developed marketing and development and friends group support. Is there anything else? Any other questions, Don?
I wasn't aware of the
The county owns the land, and there are some components of the structure that that we own or are responsible for. I think Mr. Tice could probably answer that in more detail than I can. I know that we have to contribute money to for our agreements. We do provide support, and we do have an ownership stake in the.
Is that recent? Because I used to work there, and we used to hear that no taxpayer dollars were being contributed.
I'd have to go back and take a look at the history of the art museum, but I believe that the county has been contributing, you know, either both through operating support and capital funding money to the art museum for some time.
Okay, is any other questions on this item? Hearing none.
Oh,
whoops. Go on. No, sorry.
A number of these cultural assets are museum. Public museum, whatever. Has there been any talk about a regional funding for some of these types of things?
The question is about have there been any discussions of regional funding for other cultural institutions like the Art Museum and the Public
here.
Museum?
There have been there's been a number of proposals over the years that have talked about a variety of different options, many of them involving the establishment of an additional sales tax. Anything like that would require a change in state statute. There have been a couple of times where there's been at least once, where there was legislation considered, but nothing like that has passed. So there have been conversations, but the state legislature and governor would have to support a new revenue stream in order to establish a regional district like that.
Don?
How long has it been since the last legislation was rejected?
All night.
I want to say it was when Scott Walker was county executive and Governor Doyle was in office, and that I believe was the last time that it was considered by the state legislature and did not pass.
Was the referendum 08, and then it did move forward in 09?
I believe that's correct. Okay. I believe that's happened.
There's a current proposal by the reported out in Business Journal by the Chamber of Commerce, Association of Commerce, to have a 0.5% sales tax for cultural institutions, and it would be a 5-year provision that would sunset automatically in 5 years. For capital, not operating only, I think, although I need to go back and look at that article to see what the details. So there is, again, an effort with some support behind it, and there's a lot of discussion about whether that will, in fact, include parks assets or only the other institutions in that considered parks and park system. I guess we're set with that. Thank you. Okay, Michelle.
I wanted to thank you. That was very informative, and you took a very complex financial budget and made it very user-friendly, and you got to some very significant points, so I'm just grateful that you prepared this.
Awesome.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm happy to help.
The hour is getting very late in terms of this meeting. We've been meeting for quite a long time, and I'm trying to figure out how clear we go with respect to the rest of the agenda. Maybe I can make some recommendations. The case study comparison of horticultural conservatories matter is one that is supported by case study materials that were made available to us late last night or early this morning that appear from their content to be a work in progress, where the sheet comparing them is, and the facts and figures are not complete. So I think we can look at that report as a status report to us on the extent to which Grafe, the consultant working with the Parks Department, that's how far they got on providing us with case studies of other conservatories and other places. So I think rather than going over the particulars of those, maybe we can defer some discussion of those case studies to the final item on our agenda, which is a discussion of what we need to do next and how to get the services to and support to be able to do what we need to do as we move forward. The same is true with the adoption of the community engagement plan, that again, we are provided with the extent that what was generated by Grafe when they were working with the Parks Department for a community engagement plan, a list of organizations and individuals we should reach out to,